some interesting things have occurred since we last talked. And I'll get to those in a moment. Ben Rawson's going to be coming on. I see that it's 37 degrees outside right now. I had a lively show yesterday, and yesterday I was recording the show as I always do, and I found out later that the recording stopped. I have a backup with a program called Adobe Audition, and when I went to save that, it also gave up the ghost, so I don't have that show from yesterday. There's a number of shows that I've recorded that I'm going to stick back in Blog Talk Radio because the communication between the studio and Blog Talk was broken. But anyway, so a few headlines that I think that you're going to find quite interesting. And if you didn't see it, it was kind of notable. Trump being backed by a certain percentage of black pastors. He got together with about 100 black pastors. I think it was in New York. It might have been in Philadelphia. I can't remember, but these guys got together, and it was not a consensus, but there was a lot of support for Donald Trump. Now, there's, of course, other black pastors that immediately called the black pastors that met with Trump Uncle Toms and sellouts and everything, but that's par for the course. So one of them said, yeah, at least a prostitute gets paid. We didn't get anything from meeting with Donald Trump. So you see the mentality in these people that has been kind of driven there by the Al Sharptons, the Jesse Jacksons, the Barack Obamas, people who are used to selling and buying votes. There is a poll that's come out, and it shows a rising support level in the United States for special forces, for what they call commandos, to come in and wipe out ISIS. Now, why this didn't happen in the beginning, who can say? You know, one of the most remarkable things about this president is, number one, how he allowed himself to be sold as the greatest mind in history, a person who needed not one second of experience to become the greatest leader in history, and how he has applied himself since then is shocking. It's disappointing. It's confounding. And the fact that he had an opportunity early with ISIS to go in and try to wipe them out, that's one thing. It's another thing, as ISIS grew, that he didn't seem to be that worried about it. Called it a JV team. It's notable the day before the explosions, the attacks in Paris, the machine gun attacks and explosions. It's notable that he said they're on the ropes. Basically, they're hemmed in, at least. He said, they're not expanding. I mean, this guy has got a history of malapropisms, misstatements, humorous mistakes that the media always simply refuse to report on, so you'd never get the sense of that it happened. But I mean, that is a spectacular one right there. But even now, the Russians have jumped in to Syria and to the ISIS fight, which doesn't help us at all. Now they're saying that if we get involved in areas where the Russians are already fighting, it could trigger a nuclear war. There's a fear of that, because Russia is on one side and we're on the other. The problem with selling yourself as an absolute genius is there's never really been a net for Obama other than the media. His mistakes are so spectacular and so frequent, and nothing seems to push him off of constantly doing the high school cool guy thing, walking real slow, never getting excited about anything. It's a terrible brand of leadership, you know. Anyway, we were kind of battling yesterday over global warming. I want to get into a little bit more about that. I want to remind you of this back and forth between Senator Cruz and the head of the Sierra Club, who's apparently a doctor of some kind, but a total know-nothing when it comes to the science of global warming. But that doesn't stop him from presenting himself as such. Check this out.
I want to address the facts. How do you address the fact that in the last 18 years, the satellite data show no demonstrable warming whatsoever?
Sir, I would rely upon the Union of Concerned Scientists, and I would rely upon the evidence, and again, from our own NOAA officials, the data are there.
Is it correct that the satellite data over the last 18 years demonstrate no significant warming?
No.
How is it incorrect?
Based upon our experts, it's been refuted long ago, and there's no longer, it's not up for a scientific debate.
I'm curious if, I want to understand this. I do find it highly interesting that the president of the Sierra Club, when asked what the satellite data demonstrate about warming, apparently is relying on staff. The nice thing about the satellite data is these are objective numbers.
Correct.
And the numbers over the last 18 years, are you familiar with the phrase, the pause?
That would be a no, by the way.
The answer is yes. And essentially, we rest on our position.
And to what you said, you are familiar with the pause. So to what does the phrase, the pause, refer? I'm sorry, you said you were familiar with that term, so I asked to what does it refer?
Essentially, it's the slowing of global warming during the 40s, sir.
During the 40s? Is it not the term that global warming alarmists have used to explain the inconvenient truth, to use a phrase popularized by former Vice President Al Gore, that the satellite data over the last 18 years demonstrate no significant warming whatsoever? Global warming alarmists call that the pause because the computer models say there should be dramatic warming, and yet the actual satellites taking the measurement don't show any significant warming.
But Senator, 97% of the scientists concur and agree that there is global warming and anthropogenic impact with regards to
the problem with that statistic that gets cited a lot is it's based on one bogus study. And indeed, your response, I would point out your response is quite striking. I asked about the science and the evidence, the actual data. We have satellites. They're measuring temperature. That should be relevant. And your answer was, pay no attention to your lying eyes and the numbers that the satellites show. Instead, listen to the scientists who are receiving massive grants who tell us, do not debate the science.
Sir, this is one of the national pastimes in America. And while we're debating what 97% of scientists have already settled, the 3% that we, as they say, have invested in with regards to the carbon industry, you know, our planet is cooking and heating up and warming. So this is one of the reasons why.
So hold on a second. It is the Sierra Club's position that right now, the Earth is cooking up and heating and warming. Is that the Sierra Club? I mean, I just want to quote you and understand.
I am saying I concur with 97% of the world scientists with regards to global warming and the anthropogenic effects of mankind with regards to climate.
But sir, would you answer the question? Is it the Sierra Club's position, as you just testified, that the Earth is cooking up and heating and warming right now? Is that the Sierra Club's position?
Global temperatures are on the rise, sir.
And I assume the Sierra Club would issue a public retraction if confronted with the facts that the data are precisely as I described, that over the last 18 years, there has been no significant warming. And indeed, that is why global warming alarmists invented the term the pause to explain what they call the pause in global warming, because the data demonstrate what you just said, that the Earth is cooking and warming is not backed up by the data.
All right, so you hear that there, that back and forth. The 97% has cited the guy who's running, who's in the house. And let me tell you, this guy was, capture the metaphor, was like a toad on a hot plate. It was like a frog in a boiling pot. He was moving around a lot. He did not know the topic. Every single response that he made was fed to him by some assistant behind him. But the 97%, which came up yesterday, the 97% comes out of, as you heard the senator say, that there is no such thing as a 97% agreement from the world scientists that there is global warming. It's absolutely has never been polled. It's never been polled, and therefore we don't know what percentage of scientists said that there is global warming. What this gentleman did, who did the study of these various other studies on earth sciences, on climate, he deduced from studying all these that 97%, and this is from Illinois, this is actually not even from a professor, it's from a University of Illinois master's student, Kendall Zimmerman, and well, I guess there was an advisor, Peter Doran, but this master's degree student went through a bunch of papers, 77 papers, and took out of these papers, although many of them were not on the topic, they were perhaps marginally related to it, deduced from these studies that these people concurred with global warming. Now, a number of these people who were mentioned in the agreeing in this later said, I don't know what this person's talking about. They never called me. I do not agree with the global warming. So it is a total hoax, the 97%, but it's one of those things, you can't get rid of it. It's like graffiti. It's there for good. We'll take a break and come back with Ben Ross and the Kelly O'Connell Show. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523 1450. We'll get a little bit of the local story going on right now. Out in the county commission, there are rumblings, and I don't know if it's from fracking or from political disasters that are pushing up through the crust of the earth. We'll be right back. 6:19, and a little more. Got some Oscar Peterson here for you, Bossa Nova. Well, and we've got Ben Ross in here. Great to have you back in the studio, Ben. Good morning.
Good morning, Kelly. Thanks for having me on.
Wonderful. Wonderful memories come flooding back.
Well, Kelly, now that we got the city election out of the way and we're starting to think about Christmas and the holiday season upon us, I thought I'd swing back on here a little bit. Maybe we'll make this a little more regular come the new year.
Good, good. All right, so what's going on?
Well, Kelly, there's a couple things going on that I wanted people to be aware of. On the 4th, on Friday the 4th, the county has a blood drive going on. And then on the 5th, on Saturday the 5th, the sheriff has a use of force class. And if anyone is interested in what the sheriff's department goes through as far as training the officers on what force they need to use when, it's a terrific class, and I'd really encourage anyone to attend that. Then on the 9th, on next Wednesday, Commissioner Garcia has a meeting down in Sunland Park to talk about the disincorporation of Sunland Park. And that's going to be a real interesting one and a hot topic. I'll be down there with him. Kelly, your listeners will remember last week the county commission stopped an incorporation attempt, a petition to incorporate from the residents of Santa Teresa. And now there's a process going on to disincorporate Sunland Park. So there's a lot going on down there in the south part of the state, and I know you've covered some of it, but it continues to get pretty exciting down there.
Yeah, we've had a lot of explosive and entertaining news out of Sunland Park.
It seems like it's always that way a little bit. But Kelly, one of the other things that I wanted to talk about is the tax increase that we had this past July 1. I'm sure your listeners will remember that. It was the largest tax increase ever passed in Doñana County. One of the challenges that I have on that, it's coming back up on the agenda on Tuesday. When that tax increase first came up, I pointed out that it was not a hold harmless. It wasn't a matter that the county was losing money because the county actually loses $10,000 a month and the tax they created generates $1 million a month.
Sounds like a fair trade.
Yeah, 100% return there. So that stopped that argument, and they had to come up with a different argument, and that argument was that the sheriff's department needed money. And so in the resolution passed before the GRT increase, it was agreed that one-third of the money would be going to the sheriff's department, approximately $4 million. And that simply isn't happening. And so on Tuesday's agenda, we have a resolution talking about how much money to spend for the sheriff's department raises. And it's going to come to a head again, because it's a matter of being honest with the public, Kelly. We have a situation where the county commission as a whole continues to be disingenuous to the public. They say we have to have this because we're losing money from the state. Turns out that's wrong. They go to a different argument. Then they say we have to have this because we have to fund the sheriff's deputies, which is a true thing. We do need to. And then they're not giving the money there either. We have a real problem with integrity and transparency from the county commissioner.
Well,
right,
some
now
of the county commissioners are leaving. Wayne Hancock is relocating back to the place that the planet that he came from to help us out, Florida.
That'll be good. We do have three elections coming up. Commissioner Benavidez also is term limited out, so she won't be running for reelection. So if there's anyone out there looking to run, now's a good time to be thinking about it.
Well, I believe that Craig Buckingham's running.
Craig Buckingham is running. He ran for sheriff before. I think Craig would be a great person to have on the county commission.
You know, he didn't really lose that sheriff's race by that much, given the amount that he put in versus him, you know.
When you look at a six-point race countywide, he did a very nice showing on that. And, you know, one of the nice things when you're looking for candidates, you want someone who understands what it takes to run a campaign.
Yeah, yeah.
And Craig understands that, and he understands what it feels like to lose. So I know he's going to work hard at it, and he would be a wonderful perspective up on the commission, especially with all the challenges going on between the commission and the sheriff's office. Having someone with a background there from DASO would be wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there any truth to the rumor that Billy Golden Earring Garrett is going to try to get more taxes?
You know, if we keep on the spending train, he's going to have to, because when we look at the spending increase from 2007 to this budget that we passed in January, was a 58% or 57% increase in spending. you can't have that kind of increase in spending when the population has increased by 1.7%. So by 7.1%. So if we keep on the spending train where we've gone from 97 million to over 150 million, he's going to have to look for more revenue to make that happen.
Well, I'm wondering, what can we tax next?
Property taxes are an easy one for the county commission, Kelly.
How about pecan consumption?
I don't know how we'd track that one, and I don't want to give them any ideas. So hopefully nobody's listening right now that's wanting to increase taxes more.
A dollar for every chili you eat.
A dollar for every chili. Boy, I'd be in trouble on that one. That's for sure, Kelly. We have some of the greatest chili here. That's for sure.
All right. So, I mean, give us a little bit of a state of the commission. What's your opinion on how are you guys doing overall? And, some of your, because it's been a while since you've been on, some of the positives and negatives.
Well, Kelly, we continue to have some major disagreements on the commission. And primarily that comes from a different perspective that I bring to the commission than other commissioners have there. I am pleased I'm developing a real strong relationship with Commissioner Garcia. It's been great to work with him. I'm running for county commission chairman, and Commissioner Garcia is running for vice chair here in January. So the two of us are running as a slate, running together. And
Can Billy come back in and run things again?
Only if he changes the rules.
Oh, okay.
The rules that we have voted on state that you can only stay there for 2 terms or 2 years.
And is he working on the rules?
I don't know. You'd have to ask him, Kelly. I hope not. It's time
Billy
for some change.
Billy, call in. 523-1450. Billy, call in.
But so we'll have that I'll be the chairman next year. That will allow me to drive a little bit of an agenda a little bit differently. Commissioner Garcia has been a strong ally, and especially with everything going on in the south part of the state, whether it's the challenges that Santa Teresa and Sunland Park are having with each other right now, or just the economic growth that we're seeing in Santa Teresa. It'll be real good to have him on the leadership of the county commission, helping to drive that and to continue to encourage that economic development.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, so I just heard this on the grapevine that Billy has got his own handpicked person that he's going to have run for some of the empty seats.
I'm sure he probably does, Kelly. It's important for him to have power, and so making sure that you have the votes on the commission helps you do that. That wouldn't surprise me at all. The real question, Kelly, is what's good for the residents of Doñana County? And that's one of the reasons I'm excited that Craig is running. He's been here. He's local. He's been employed as a retired, or I believe in January will be retiring with the sheriff's department.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, he's got that experience, that longevity, the understanding of county government.
And he's a good hearted guy. He's, he's thoughtful. He is not a rash person.
We do need a good candidate running in District 4 in Wayne Hancock's district, which is the Sonoma Ranch Highway 70 area. And if anyone knows a good person,
especially somebody who lives out of state, would be a good candidate.
Well, I'd rather see a local, but we'll take what we can get. We need someone who's interested really in good government and not just trying to push an agenda, but wanting something wanting good government for Doñana County.
How about a Syrian? Because we're bringing Syrians in, and
The governor's gone on record pretty harsh on that, saying we shouldn't be doing that. And so we'll see what happens. But yeah.
Well, the last group of Syrians they brought in, 132 of them were Muslim and 0% were Christians. Zero of them were Christians. So, what would you say if someone wanted to bring in Syrians here? The president wants to bring in 100,000. Is that something you could comment on?
I would not want to see that. I don't know what the county commission, what authority the county commission would have on that if the governor was to change sides and to encourage bringing them in. I'd have to look at that. Thankfully, we have a governor who's standing up and saying, no, this isn't right. And so right now, hopefully, that's not a situation we'll have to deal with.
Yeah, hopefully. All right. So we'll take a break here and be back and talk a little bit more to Ben Rawson. 6:33, you're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, 523-1450. It's going to be a real, it's going to take some getting used to losing the kind of leadership we have with Wayne Hancock, by the way. ¶¶ It's Kelly and 636, and we have Ben Rawson here. And so, but Ben, if you were the chair of the county commission, what would be some of your goals? What would be on your agenda?
Kelly, we need to change the focus. The focus right now with the current chairman has been on livability issues and on beautification and that kind of thing. And we need to change that focus back to economic development, bringing jobs here, encouraging job growth here, having that focus. We need to get rid of these taxes that we don't need.
Well, you know, a lot of the focus has been on getting tax money and spending it. I don't know if you want to call it beautification or not, but this idea that, and I asked one of the candidates who was running for city council, you know, there's two models here. We can either increase tax revenue by increasing taxes or grow the economy. And I was told by one of the candidates that the way that to do it is to tax so that we can put in infrastructure. Well, actually, a couple of candidates said this. Tax, build infrastructure so then businesses will find this to be an attractive area. What do you think?
No. Kelly, I can't say that any more clearly. No, that's not the way we need to go. We now have one of the largest tax rates in the entire region, and that sure doesn't encourage people to move here. Doesn't encourage people to stay here either. We have an employment situation that is not a good situation. And the city of Las Cruces Metro, which is most of Doñana County, last year had something like 1,100 new jobs. 1,100 new jobs. If anyone goes to any of the high school graduations, the college graduations, you see a lot more than that entering the workforce, and we've got to have somewhere for them to go. A part of that's just being business friendly and encouraging businesses to expand and grow, making it easy for businesses to do business with Doñana County.
Here's a question I've thrown out to people. You're in business and you've been in the county commission for a long time. What kind of growth could we have here if we change things around, in your opinion?
You know, Kelly, we are sitting on absolutely a fantastic situation here in Doñana County. We've got everything going on in Santa Teresa, and people don't understand how big that is. If you get a chance to drive down there, take a drive down there. We've got an enormous industrial base that's setting up down there. We have the rail line with Union Pacific that now will become the largest inland port in the United States. You've got China building a rail line across Mexico, and it will connect right through Santa Teresa. What we're sitting on is an absolutely phenomenal situation.
I haven't heard anybody talk about those details yet.
Yeah, you know who I should probably try and get? I should get Arik on here. Arik, I'll get a name for you, Kelly, but there's some great
people. Sounds like a Viking.
You know, he runs one of the short railroad lines down there that moves cars around to different industrial companies down there. But we're sitting absolutely in a terrific situation in Sunland Park, in Santa Teresa, in that area. Then you've got Chaparral. Kelly, Chaparral is a great place. El Paso is expanding right up to the border. They've got a new movie theater going in a mile across the border on the Texas side. Chaparral is a great area. If we do a little bit of encouragement there, we can get some industry and some development going on there that would help the residents of Chaparral immensely. And then, of course, you flip to the other side of the state. On the north side, we've got everything going on with Spaceport America, and that can be real big as well.
Could be is the key word there.
It is, but I think it will be. Things are continuing to go along well.
What am I missing here? How is it going to become big? I mean, I know it's big in terms of the investment, but...
It's big in terms of investment. Sure, it's cost us a lot to get it going. Now's not the time to pull away from it. As we continue to get, we got two more tenants up there at Spaceport America.
Decouple, I believe, is the term.
We've got, I'm a firm believer that Spaceport America will be a good thing for us. I would not have liked it to be funded the way it is, because I don't think that's something that the public needed to fund. But we're where we are now, thanks to previous county commissions.
Well, my opinion is it's going to go the way of the passenger pigeon, but the future will tell that. Here's a phone call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Ted. I just wanted to point out that a couple of the biggest players in the space industry, Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk, are building their own spaceports. I think what's wrong with Spaceport America is that anytime you need anything built, you have to go through the New Mexico legislature.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Since it's a state project, anytime they want to make any changes, it has to go back. I'm sorry, Kelly.
It's all right. Thanks for the call, Ted. Feel free to hang up at any time.
No, that is one of the challenges, and government is very slow to react. So when there's changes that need to be done, it's a slow process to get done. And I don't want to draw the attention. I know the spaceport's a hot topic, but really where we've got the economic development is in Santa Teresa.
In my opinion, the spaceport's not a hot topic. It's a project that was ill-conceived, and I don't see anybody rushing to try to use the facilities.
You know, Kelly, we should probably, if you're interested, I'll see if I can get Christine Anderson to come down. She's the person up there with the state, and she's got several new tenants that have come on board and can fill you on some of that.
Right.
I think that'd be probably
that good
for good. Some listeners.
You can invite anybody on the show, including the Wright brothers, as far as I'm concerned.
Here I am inviting people onto your show,
no,
Kelly.
That's
I think
fine. That's fine. Things can get stale around here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hi, this is Ted. Sorry, went off the hook there. I just wanted to say that every time Christine Anderson or some of these other people come on and speak, they give these excuses that it takes a little time to debunk. But there are certain things that have been told as advantages for Spaceport America that just don't pan out, such as the altitude of 1 mile or 5,000 feet. Most of the satellites in the United States are launched from Vandenberg Air Force Base, that's right on the coast.
Yeah, that may be true. Thanks, Ted.
Sure.
Have a good day. We'll take a little break here. Are you going to stay on? You're leaving.
Kelly, I'm going to take off, but thank you for having me, and we'll get back on here.
Thanks for coming on. Ben Rawson, folks, 643 Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450, call in 523-1450. Hey, it's Kelly.
Yeah, I was just wondering who you just had on.
Yeah, Ben Rawson. He's still here.
Okay, because when you said goodbye to him, I mean, you act as if everybody's listened to the program since you introduced him. And I was listening for 20 minutes, and you never mentioned his name. But
that's a bad habit.
That little rat bastard. Okay.
That's a bad habit. Thanks a lot, man. Have a good day.
Okay.
Well, we got a phone call asking who that was. It was Ben Rawson, and it was pointed out that I had never reintroduced him. So apologies for that. County commissioner running for the head of the county commission next. And so that's amazing information about the hub down there, that it's going to be the largest in the United States. And you would think that there would be all kinds of activity, and maybe it's coming, but all types of economic activity that would bring businesses into this area. It seems astounding that we don't see more of that. Very, very, very strange. But so this reminds me a little bit. Rush Limbaugh said something. I just caught a headline: Paris is anti-capitalism. And I think that's transparently true, because when you look at the formula for global warming and the treatment of global warming, it's indistinguishable from Marxism, from socialism. The rich countries have put the poor countries at risk. Their greedy activities have created danger and a catastrophe for the world, and they need to pay back to the poor countries. I mean, it's kind of a touching vignette. It's a it's a heartwarming little story. There's absolutely, as far as I can tell, no truth about it. I mean, there is a pause in global warming. So if things are so bad, if the Earth is heating up, each year is hotter than the last, where's the global warming? And then you bring in climate change. Do global warming enthusiasts really think that there shouldn't be any the climate should be static? You know what I'm saying? The same weather patterns every year. Is that what would dissuade them from supporting this idea? So you can't disprove it, as George Will has pointed out. Can at least advocate against the taking of trillions of dollars and redistributing it to other countries, which are, for the most part, when a country is very poor, it is a very corrupt country. So you'd be sending a lot of money over to corrupt dictators, and God knows how that would be misused. In addition, when you can't extract wealth, large amounts of wealth, out of areas without destroying the businesses that gave rise to the wealth. So it would be a complete sabotage of the world economy. Undoubtedly, hundreds of millions of people would be affected or even killed through famine and drought. You cannot attack the capitalistic system, the world economy, and not expect any fallout. So anyway, we're take another break here, and we'll come back and talk about this a little bit more. Although we can talk about anything that you want. Some of the other issues that I had mentioned was, here's a great one. Interesting. There are scientists that want to drill into the core of the Earth to try to tap the heat for energy. And some people believe that could trigger a catastrophic earthquake. What do you think of that? 650, you're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 with Kelly O'Connell. 523-1450, 523-1450. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Kelly.
Kelly, it's Ralph.
Hey, Ralph, what's up? What's up, man? No, you're not on the air, but you are on Blog Talk. You're getting recorded on Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that's fine. No, that's fine. That core drilling to the center of the Earth has already been tried 20 years ago in Los Alamos.
And?
That's a fact. That's a fact.
Okay, so, but obviously, how far down do they get?
That's kind of classified. But it was tried.
Well, I mean, don't we have new and better drills now?
I have no idea on that. I've been away from that area for quite a while.
Well, free energy, just tap into the magma source. Yes.
It hasn't been put on the air for a long, long time, but I'm pretty sure that it was put on the air, that they were drilling to the core of the Earth to get heat.
Well, I think it's time we try it again.
I agree with you. Bye.
Thanks. All right. Just got a call from Ralph, who pointed out that this has already been tried up near Los Alamos. And it was tried, and I guess it failed, but don't we have bigger drills now? Better drills. Don't we need to drill into the Earth, folks? There could be a hidden race of people in there. There could be a hidden race of liberals living down there. I think another name for it is hell, but just kidding. Just come on now. Come on, Frankie. Don't get upset. But it would be interesting to drill into the Earth and get some stuff out of there, right? What if we found a whole bunch of diamonds? What if we found more oil? Did you know that there is a theory, it's called a biogenic oil? It is the idea that oil is a naturally produced side effect of the Earth. It is not from, ancient plants and dinosaur getting liquefied. that it's actually a naturally occurring thing and that we will never run out of it. Now, some people think that there are tiny microbes living in the earth. Well, I think there are, that these things are so there's so many of them in there that they die. And when they die, they turn into oil. But there is some support for this crazy theory, which is there is a planet or a moon that is circling one of the planets in our solar system. And the moon is called Triton. And it has a cryovolcano, meaning a frozen volcano, that is constantly coughing up frozen methane. And methane is natural gas. Natural gas, obviously, is associated on the Earth, according to scientists, with the production of oil. Indian Ocean Expedition resumes a six-decade campaign to bore right through the planet's crust. And there's a ship out there. It says many have tried, many have failed, but a ship, the drill ship Joides, J-O-I-D-E-S, will depart from Colombia, Sri Lanka, and head for a spot in the southwestern Indian Ocean known as the Atlantis Bank, and it will there lower a drill bit and try to screw through 1.5 kilometers of rock, collecting a core sample as it goes. And so as some people are worried that this could cause a mega quake, so I don't know. But the Express.UK is saying that such a mega quake could result as they try to drill into the earth. So, and in other news, this really captured my attention. Iraqis believe that the United States is backing ISIS. And I thought about this. What does that mean? You know, this our main ally in the region outside of Israel believes that we're backing ISIS, who's going around and killing a bunch of people in places like Iraq. What that meant to me immediately was that the people who are actually over there experiencing ISIS firsthand don't believe that we're doing our best to wipe them out. And as a matter of fact, don't even think we're trying to wipe them out at all. What we're trying to do is support them. That to me was a scary idea because it shows to me how failed the president's approach to this thing in and his hand wringing or his indifference. It's the JV team. I really, you know, especially with recent reports coming out that Obama refuses to read things that he doesn't already agree with, we are really being led by someone who is such an ideologue, so captured and driven by ideology, by leftism, that he can't take seriously anything that he doesn't already believe, which is a closed system, right? So that means that if we're in a catastrophe, which a lot of times brings new forces together or brings new elements together that we weren't prepared for a lot of times or we didn't foresee, that means that he would not be prepared for a catastrophe. That's just my impression. Anyway, 658 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. We're going to come back and talk about some more of this stuff coming up. And I'll tell you a little bit more about this Trump support by the black pastors and a few other things. And you can call in and change the subject if you want. 659 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450. We'll be back after a break on the hour.